1. Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD Under the Radar. This is our Under the Radar podcast where we go through all of the conferences that are not considered a major conference, that is, the conferences that are not the Power Six. We also don't include the American, the A-10, the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference, or any top 25 teams. Joining me tonight, John Stalica and David Griggs.
Still in the bunker.
Still in the puppet
Chad,
bunker.
I was talking to Joe Lenardi. He's not even in a bunker. He's just in a studio. They just call it a bunker. So if we're going to be like that, you shouldn't just lock me in this freaking bunker. I can't. I mean, he can come and go. He can use the bathroom. He can go out to eat. He can go grocery shopping. He's not locked in any sort of a bunker. And David, they only do that in March. This is December.
David, we gave you a bowl of water. We gave you a couple of pieces of bread, only a little bit of green on them. We gave you another bowl. There's your bathroom. What is your problem?
I'm not happy with what I did after Nebraska lost to Kansas either, but this is ridiculous.
Well, Nebraska, as we record this, is locked in a huge battle with that upstart Texas San Antonio team. So we are recording this here on the evening of Wednesday, December 20th, around 9:30 p.m. So it's always tough to beat Texas San Antonio, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the better teams in the whole city.
Yeah, they're one of the best teams in the bottom one quarter of the Conference USA as well.
A city where their only competition is Incarnate Word?
Yes, yes. Who's also in that city?
Let's go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and pull up on the screen here the standings that we use for all these shows here, and it should be coming right on up there. There's the standings. And what we're going to do tonight is starting the Ohio Valley Conference, a conference we have not started one of these shows with yet this season, our feature conference. And I'm doing it a lot because of what happened last night, both in the winning and in the losing side of things. But let's start with John, with that Belmont-Western Kentucky game last night. That was my game of the day. And were you surprised that Belmont picked up that big road win?
I'm not necessarily surprised with Belmont. Maybe our expectations were a little bit lower just because Lipscomb finally got a pair of overdue wins against Belmont. But even with Western Kentucky slipping a little bit, you have to give some credit to the Bruins, who have been one of the more consistent under-the-radar teams in recent memory.
Yeah, David, they picked up a nice win, and then Murray State almost got Auburn at home.
And I got to say this, and I don't really want to because of, like, the sliminess going around the Auburn program, but one thing I've always admired about Bruce Pearl, he did this at Tennessee, and he's done it at Auburn, is that he – not only is he not afraid to go on the road and play under the radar teams in hostile environments, he likes it. He started the series with UAB, wants to play them long-term on equal terms. When he was at Tennessee, he started – I know Memphis wasn't under the radar, but Memphis and Tennessee weren't playing at the time. Also started the series with East Tennessee State, Chattanooga, and Middle Tennessee home and home. And here he is going to Murray State. Now, what other power programs are ever going to go to Murray State? So there's a lot of things I don't like about Bruce Pearl, but I do like the idea that he sees the value in playing games like that, and there is a value to a game like that. And I think that at the end of the day, the committee is going to give them a lot of credit for that win. Murray State's really good. They're probably not going to lose at home for the rest of the year. It would have been a really good chance for Murray State to pick up a really good win. But all in all, just I do respect Auburn for scheduling that.
I forget how many years it's been, but I believe Dayton was the last of the major programs that actually visited Murray. And that was the game where the Racers did end up on top.
Yeah, St. Mary's went there as part of the bracket buster, and I think that that's the only time that a ranked team has gone to Murray State.
But even beyond these top two teams of Belmont, Belmont, Murray State, we also have Jacksonville State, who's off to a nice 9-3 start, didn't do much of note this past week. But we do throw in there, we may have a couple other teams that are making some noise in the OVC, starting with Tennessee Tech, who made some noise earlier this season, and in a losing effort, David, Tennessee State, just Monday night, almost got Texas.
Yeah, they did. I mean, right in there with Texas. And this is a Texas team that I've been big on all year. And it kind of made me question – it made me question Texas a little bit. But more or less, there's a lot of teams in this league, at least in the top half of it. Belmont had the two losses to Lipscomb, but outside of that, they've looked really good. No shame in any of those losses. Real good win at Western Kentucky. And how about Jack State? I know you haven't mentioned them yet, but they've got a pretty good profile going. And they had a close loss. Was it I'm tripping here.
Well, I'm putting
was it Alabama or Mississippi State that they almost beat?
Mississippi State. There's the team sheet right on the screen there, so we can take a closer look at them. But you see there just the three losses. Oregon State on the road by a point, five points at Buffalo, 3 points at Mississippi State. They're missing the marquee win there because, you know, average RPI win is I think only Georgetown is worse than that at 278.
Right. And I know you kind of – this is impossible to forecast, but if – you sort of have a core of this conference of Jack State, Murray State, Belmont, and, even probably Tennessee State, like you said. What line does the champion end up on? And if they are a 13 or 14 line, how dangerous can they be if it's one of those four teams? Tennessee State, but yeah.
I'm not as high on the Tennessee Tech or Tennessee State teams, but I think those other three, Belmont, Jacksonville State, Murray State, are all dangerous. I don't even think it's a four. I think you're looking at a 13 seed type of team, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, assuming there's going to be no carnage in the OVC tournament, I would probably say around 14.
Yeah, there could be with the one we saw last year, but with three teams, we just say any one of those three. That's what I'm kind of thinking that, unless one of them completely falls apart or completely runs away with things when we get into conference play here.
Yeah, and we have seen a weaker team, Austin Peay, a few years ago, run through the tournament and win it, but this conference does use a ladder. The other week, Chad, you put together the Ten Commandments, which may be the best document relating to college basketball on the entire internet. One of the things you did not – so this conference isn't violating any of the commandments, but can you tell everybody again, it's the Ohio Violet Conference with no teams in Ohio, and they're playing their tournament in Indiana where there are no teams from the conference in that state, and it's being sponsored by Visit Myrtle Beach.
Yes, and there are no teams in Myrtle Beach or in the entire state of South Carolina. So,
right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a kind of a triple whammy there on the conference tournament. But,
geographically challenged league.
If we do want to talk about the upcoming games this week, I would note what's coming up here tomorrow night, Thursday night, both Tennessee State and Tennessee Tech, we just both mentioned, at Indiana, at Purdue. That Tech and Indiana game might be worth watching the way Indiana has been so schizophrenic this season.
Yeah, they have been. And again, Murray State, another winnable road game for them as they continue to build their resume. And, they can kind of get up to the 13-14 line. Austin Peay, one of the weaker teams. But I guess we'll get to Western Kentucky in a little bit. Another schizophrenic team.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, let's go back and let's run through all the rest of the conferences in alphabetical order. John, let me kick things off for you in the America East. Scores coming up on the screen here, where we saw Vermont suffer a heartbreaking buzzer-beater loss against St. Bonaventure over the weekend.
Yeah, that was kind of a tough chance because that would have been a chance for them to make a little bit of hay. But elsewhere in the conference, you've got Albany, who continues to rack up wins against inferior competition, but also Maryland, Baltimore County. They got a nice close win at home against Northern Kentucky themselves, even though the Norse have not been able to get a true road win. That's still going to be a nice win for the Retrievers here.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was a real nice win for UMBC. It's a team that I was looking at as being the second or third best team heading into the season. I still think Vermont is the best team here, even though they're not there in terms of overall record. But, David, I just think it's – you look at Vermont's 82 strength of schedule versus Albany's 329. That's the difference here.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're both top 330 schedules.
All right. Well, David, here's the upcoming schedule of the America East. Should be popping up on the screen right now. Light week again with no games at all on Monday on over the weekend or over Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with the Christmas break, but Stony Brook going on the road to Rutgers, maybe the
I mean, at least maybe not from how good the game's going to be. Stony Brook's kind of weak this year, but again, just the storyline there of the coaching situation. But yeah, a whole lot of blah out of the America East this week, and with some of these under the radar conferences, you get excited when your top UTR teams play on the road and get the chance to get those, you know, quality wins. But aside from that, I mean, you're just kind of itching for conference play to start at this point.
And that's actually a return game from when Stony Brook actually hosted Rutgers last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was part of the Steve Paikel deal. He agreed to do a home-and-home series with Stony Brook, starting at Stony Brook last year. But although I would note that Stony Brook only lost to Providence by two less this past week. So
Providence is awful.
Well, let's go on to the A-Sun. And, David, let me kick things off here. How about this Lipscomb team, though? Just continue to rack up the wins.
They do. They're at full strength now, I believe. I think they got all their starters back. They had the two big wins over Belmont. We talked about that earlier. And really, nobody else in this league looking anywhere close to as good as they have so far. Gulf Coast has had their moments. But Lipscomb, if you look at the totality of their season, they're just doing real well. And how about that win over Florida? I mean, that was something. I couldn't believe it.
Over Florida College.
Florida.
David, that is not the Florida Gators. That is Florida.
No, it's Florida. It's Florida's college basketball team.
John, I don't even know what I want to do with about David, but Gulf Coast, horrific week though. Losing on the road to Florida International, losing at home over the last weekend to Oral Roberts team, an Oral Roberts team that has a non-D1 loss on their resume.
I had teased earlier that I was disappointed that Gulf Coast had a chance to pull the F blank U double, and they did that with the Florida Atlantic and Florida International losses. But losing at home to Oral Roberts, that's going to be even worse. And even if Gulf
Coast... By 19 points.
I was going to say, even if Gulf Coast wins the Atlantic Sun tournament, they're probably going to be lucky just to get out of the 16th seed if they're able to pull it off again.
Yeah, I think they look like a 16th seed. They got a huge test coming up Friday night, though, David, at Wichita State.
Yeah, well, test is one word for it. Payday is another. How about this game tomorrow, though? Really good under the radar game here between Lipscomb and a Navy team that's been a lot of fun to watch this year.
Yeah, I think that's one that is going to be worth watching. And let's go right out. Keep moving along here to the Big Sky Conference, though, where Idaho had a big win, John, if I remember correctly.
Yep, that was probably their most complete game, where they just completely blasted a Western Michigan team that in some circles was projected to win the Mid-American Conference. They had quite the road trip getting there, because from what I understand, they took about an hour-long bus to get from Idaho to Spokane, a couple connecting flights via Denver and Chicago, and then a three-hour bus trip to Kalamazoo. So this is the kind of trip that you're only able to pull off during the holiday break, it would seem.
I hate those kinds of trips.
David, the other school that stood out to me this week actually was Southern Utah, who's been perennially awful. Picking up a nice win over a Central Michigan team that only had one loss heading into that game.
Real surprising result there. And then you start to look at them, and I know that this isn't a postseason team or anything, but, you know, 4-5 against Div 1 competition and high in the RPI, although that's more reflective of their schedule than them. But still, a much improved Southern Utah team that, as you said, we're used to seeing in the bottom 10 teams of the nation, all of a sudden factoring it in. Big Sky really looking good this year, pulling its weight out of conference, especially the top three, Idaho, Portland State, who I think I'm a little bit bigger on than the rest of you, but still getting it done. And how about Northern Colorado going to Wyoming and getting a win against their front range rival, 9-3 overall, albeit 6-3 against Div 1, but still a nice win against the Cowboys. place.
Yep, and that's one of the more difficult places to get a win, and even for a team like Northern Colorado that's a little more used to the altitude.
Yeah. But yeah. The Big Sky could be fun this year, and this is great because this conference used to have home court advantage determined by the number one seed, but they don't anymore, so who cares if it's fun?
Well, there's a good, interesting game coming up tomorrow night, Portland State at Cal. So that's definitely another winnable game against a power conference team for a Big Sky opponent for the Big Sky here. Whether or not winning at Cal, losing that game might be an upset. But
yeah,
it was a good week on the court for Northern Colorado, but off the court, that was kind of another story.
I actually do not know what you're talking about. I've been in the bunker. What happened?
Well, let's just say their former coach got a 6-year show cause penalty
because I did see that. Okay.
The academic misdeed. So
yeah, I did see that. Okay.
As was the popular line on Twitter, UNC finally got hammered.
Yeah. Okay. I did see that.
And they actually have an interesting game sort of Friday night here at UNLV.
They do. That's a good one. Yeah. So.
And Montana was a game at Washington. Montana team, I think that they're always up there. So, you know, why not? They may be in the thick of things this year as well.
Right.
Let's head up right over the Big South, though. John, here's the standings here. A conference, I think that we all agree, is just waiting for conference play to start. Is that where we are with this league?
Yeah, it seems like the default is going to turn to Asheville because we know Liberty's going to be racking up wins against a bunch of cupcakes. And Asheville actually got a decent win at a fellow UNC school, Greensboro, earlier in the week.
They did. That was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, that's probably the only notable win of the week at all. It's not incredibly notable, which is why we could probably just move right on over, David, to the next week's schedule in the Big South, which is, again, probably fairly light with the holidays here. Longwood, though, take on a big old road trip out to Grand Canyon, and Asheville, even longer trip out to St. Mary's.
Yeah. Asheville actually probably going to be one of the better teams St. Mary's plays. That's a testament to how weak their schedule is. Who is Charleston Southern playing? Is that a law firm? Is that a school? Who? Johnson and Wales.
Johnson and Wales.
I think Chad was just trying to get away from the scores as quickly as possible because I think that's the last time we're going to be mentioning Tarkawa Falls this year.
They only lost by 60. Did you see that? Are you buzzing Tarkawa Falls? Who's more under the radar than Tarkawa Falls?
I'm buzzing. I won't buzz Taco Fall, but he plays for UCF and he's not under the radar. Let's go on to the Big West Conference. John, I don't even know if the conference had any wins this week at all. Well, I guess Hawaii's win over Utah Valley was probably it, right?
I mean, if you're talking about just simply wins, sure. But UC Santa Barbara, they took a stab at USC, and unlike a team that we'll get to later, they weren't able to knock off the Trojans in LA.
Yeah, that was the two games of the week. Santa Barbara out at USC, not getting it done. I mean, they didn't play poorly, but I thought going in they had a chance to win that one. But UC Davis, this is not a bad loss, and I don't want to get carried away with this, but if you watch this game, were you guys a little surprised that they weren't at least a little more competitive? Now, again, I know how good Nevada is. They're very good, but UC Davis was not even in the game.
I don't think UC Davis is that great of a team. I think that they made their noise by beating Washington State when Washington State was undefeated, but I really think this league is going to come down to UCSB and Hawaii at the end of the day, so I'm not too shocked. At least not as shocked as you are.
I wasn't shocked. I was disappointed.
David, the upcoming schedule for this week in the Big West, we do see Long Beach on the road at Michigan State there, UCSB at Sacramento State, and Hawaii is the host team for the Diamond Head Classic, of course.
Yeah, and this is a chance for them to get some notable wins. They're probably best and last chance to do that. They normally they've played some teams pretty tough in this tournament. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Miami's out there. Who else? There's some pretty good teams out there.
Yeah, USC, Middle Tennessee is also part of that field.
So again, Middle Tennessee we'll talking about in a little bit. So a good chance for some UTR teams to pick up some notable wins.
And just I know it says Saturday on here, but that's more like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. for Saturday.
Yeah, I was just going to note that, John. Thanks. That's like a Friday 1 a.m. game because that's they're in the final game of the day there, the final quarterfinal, late Friday night, early Saturday morning, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
David, the Colonial Towson continuing to get it done here, now up to 10-2 overall.
Yeah, not getting it done tonight. Holy crap, not getting it done tonight.
Score. What's their score?
They lost by about a million. I think they were down by 25 when I finally turned it off at Oakland.
There it is. They lost by 11. It is on the screen there. It's against an Oakland team that has not been healthy all season, is finally back to full strength.
Yeah, and I thought it was the best. To be fair to Towson, if they lost by 11, then they must have had a strong finish to that game because they were getting boat raced when I was watching. But, you know, liking them, liking College of Charleston too, not so much. A little disappointed in Elon, but although they have turned it around here, Elon has, and they've been playing better recently. So, again, there's hope in this conference. And the question, I think Towson needed this one tonight, unless they do something crazy like win out. Do they have any hopes at all at landing inside the bubble?
I think Charleston was the one that really needed the win on Saturday, but
they did.
Couldn't get it against Rhode Island.
Good effort. Probably the best game I've seen Charleston play all year. But still, it was still a losing effort at
Rhode Island. I want to mention a couple other teams in this conference worth mentioning. First of all, James Madison surprisingly gave Florida a game most of that game tonight. They did end up losing by 9, but they were in there after winning out at Florida International over the weekend. And Northeastern continuing to pick up the wins with the win at Kent State on Monday night here.
Not getting it done tonight, but good job by Northeastern.
They did get blown out by St. Bonaventure. You're right. I missed that score. I completely missed that game fact. Yes, but ignore that. Other than that, Northeastern has been continuing to pick up some wins. And, John, here's the other one, the Colonial. Again, just a small handful of games here.
We'll also ignore Hofstra's tough loss at home against Manhattan. And also on Friday, as we've noted before, they're going to be making the short trip to the nearby Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum to take on former Hofstra head coach Jay Wright and his Villanova Wildcats.
Not being an ass here, but actually I kind of like being an ass. Who is Drexel playing? Is that Loyola Chicago or Maryland?
Maryland.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. The Towson game at Pittsburgh, another one worth circling. Very winnable road game for Towson.
Winnable in the sense that if they don't win it, we are going to be very disappointed in them.
Yes, exactly. Conference USA time, though, David, where we discussed on the Hoops HD report that Middle Tennessee game against Auburn. What else? And we already discussed the Belmont Western Kentucky game, but you know, a few other teams here worth noting. How about Old Dominion, who is very quietly putting together a real nice season?
Yeah, they are, and it is quiet. We'll see if they cracked our top 10 a little bit later, but getting another true road win at Fairfield, and I think that's 4 or 5 for them now. Can we pull up the team sheet?
Sure. Let's go ahead and pull up the team sheet on Old Dominion. If we can figure out how to type in Old Dominion. There we go. Team sheet in Old Dominion, you now see the Towson win, the Dayton win, the road win at Fairfield. The loss is not that bad.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, that's 4 wins away from home, but only their second true road win. But Towson and Dayton, fairly solid wins. The Temple loss isn't that bad. You kind of would have liked to have seen them get one against one of the old Colonial rivals, but all in all, pretty decent, quietly decent profile that they're building here.
Well, I believe that was the Charleston Classic where they actually lost to Temple.
Yeah, it was.
Right. And, John, the upcoming schedule in CUSA, we do see I don't know what we see here. Is there anything? Western Kentucky at Austin Peay. Middle Tennessee, that game against Princeton is part of the Diamond Head as well.
Yeah.
That kind of putting me on the spot, but I suppose, what is it, Eastern Kentucky and Middle Tennessee and Princeton, I'm sorry, which is part of the Diamond Head Classic again that we alluded to.
Chad, can you ask me what games I'm looking forward to?
What games are you looking forward to?
None. Let's move on.
Okay. The Horizon League. David, we already discussed this Oakland team and they went over Towson a little bit earlier, but anything else that you saw out of all these scores in the Horizon?
Well, Northern Kentucky, you know, they've been kind of inconsistent, schizophrenic, whatever the word is, goes out and it, with just after, and this is following some really disappointing losses in what were winnable games, and disappointing in the sense that they were pathetic showings. Goes out there against Texas A&M with an incredible effort. Was close all the way down to the final minute to where the game still wasn't decided. And you just can't help but wonder, like, had they played like that in all the rest of their games, they'd probably just have one or two losses and we'd be talking about them as an at-large team. So NKU, Oakland have high ceilings. The problem is they don't always play up to them. The paper's not going to be there at the end. The profile's not going to be there. And without the automatic bid, they're not going anywhere. But if they were to get into the NCAA tournament, they might be able to squeeze somebody in the round of 64.
Yep, but to your point, if they had that effort against UNBC or East Tennessee State on the road, they certainly would have won at least one or two of those games.
They would have.
But I want to think about this profile that I just put up on the screen here, Milwaukee. The most schizophrenic team in the nation, I'd argue, maybe even more so than some of the teams we discussed. They've won at Iowa State. They blew out a very good Loyola Chicago team this past week. They've road wins at Jacksonville and Northern Illinois. And then they have losses to Montana State and to Concordia St. Paul. David, what the hell?
I don't know. You basically just said it. I mean, their range is Iowa State, who is looking like a tournament team and maybe a top half of the bracket team, and then losses to Concordia St. Paul, who I don't even know what division they're in or if they're even making the tournament in that division. Concordia St. Paul.
This is probably the most Jekyll and Hyde schizophrenic team in the nation, in my opinion, right now, this Milwaukee team.
Yeah.
John, their upcoming week for the Horizon League, you do see Milwaukee's going to be hosting Western Michigan, so they'll probably either lose by 50 or win by 50, right?
I'd probably say more likely to lose by 50 because that's going to be an angry Western Michigan team that's going to be going across Lake Michigan to face them.
All in all, the Horizon League, from top to bottom, the weakest I ever remember it being. It's never been – well, I mean, with the exception when Butler was there, they were putting teams inside the bubble and, you know, with quality seeds. But it's always sort of been around the 12 and 13 lines most of the time, maybe a 14. This year, is it heading for a 15 seed or worse?
No, unless Oakland, now that they're healthy, can run away with it and pretty much win out the rest of the way and to get that auto bid, that might be the only way they can avoid being in that 14-15 range.
Yeah.
But there will be a nice branch campus game on Friday night between IU Kokomo and IU PUI.
I thought you were going to Green Bay, Wisconsin on Saturday at least, IU Kokomo. John, I'm not even going to talk to you about the Ivy League after that one, but David, we had a real nice start to their West Coast trip for the Princeton Tigers over the weekend.
Yeah, winning at USC. What the hell is wrong with USC is the question, but that's not for under the radar. Really nice win by Princeton in a league that, for a team in Princeton that we thought was going to be good but hasn't been all year, but, you know, maybe turning it around. I still think Harvard's got it in them. I still think Penn's got it in them to have a big ceiling, but God, I don't know. All in all, the only team that's kind of exceeded their expectations has been Penn.
Right. I mean, but it was with this Princeton team. They also won at Cal Poly on Saturday night. Sleeka, I believe you picked Princeton to go 0-2 in these games when we were talking about them last week. And so you were completely wrong.
Yeah, but unlike the puppet, I'm at least willing to admit when I make a mistake.
I am willing to make a mistake. The thing is, I just never make them.
Princeton has that game against Middle Tennessee to start off the Diamond Head again. We already talked about that a little bit earlier. Harvard at GW next over the weekend. Not much again. in this league. So, David, I think we should just move right out along to the Metro Atlantic.
Yes.
So go ahead. Tell me what is worth watching here because I don't know.
Okay. Well, big week for the Metro Atlantic. We've got Niagara still. You know, they beat St. Bonaventure to open the year, and since then they've gone 5-6. And we've got Tim Kloos again at the top of the league, and we're looking at a 15-16 seed at best, most likely, for whoever wins. And, boy, you know.
I think you're looking at a 16 seed. I think you're looking at a conference that may be fighting to avoid Dayton from what I've seen out of it so far.
Yeah, pretty weak.
Well, if a team like Iona actually gets the double and there's chaos in other tournaments, I could see him possibly sneaking up to 14, but no higher.
I don't see a team winning, you know, I mean, it's a 18-game season this year in the Metro Atlantic. I don't see a team winning more than 12 and maybe 11 wins in conference, takes the conference title, and that's not going to be good enough of a double to get a decent seed, John.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to go 16-2, something along those lines. Yeah. Still like this league. It's a fun league, especially when we get in the conference play, but just, you know, no, the top of it isn't nearly as good as what we're used to seeing. A fringe bubble we've had for the last couple years, but not this year. Not even close to the NIT caliber.
Yeah, of course, those past 2 years was also because Monmouth was the team that was a fringe bubble, but they're way off the beaten path this year.
Yeah, and here's the upcoming schedule. Again, really not much to look forward to this week. I think we're just kind of waiting for conference play to start in the Metro Atlantic. But the Mid-American, a little bit more interesting of a conference, though, John. Still picking up a few nice wins here. Michigan did get a bounce-back win over UMKC on the road, for example.
Yeah, because we already talked about some of the other games where Western Michigan got blasted at home against Idaho, and Central had the surprising toe-stub at Southern Utah. And even Northern Illinois gave Marquette a bit of a scare, as did Buffalo against Syracuse, but not able to pull off either one.
David, Ball State keeps winning.
Ball State keeps winning. I think they've five in a row. Pull them up. Team sheet.
He coming up here for Ball State. I guess half a second.
Yeah. Okay.
There they are.
All right. You know, they got the win at Notre Dame, although, you know, that's losing some of its shine right now. I think in the end it'll be pretty good. But I think what's impressive, I think they've won five in a row since – or is it four in a row? Or
they have. Their last loss was back on November 22nd, so it's been a while since they lost a game.
Yeah, and, you know, they had one of those losses at Dayton by just a point, and then another one at Bucknell, a close game. So they started off good, and I think they've gotten better. And it wouldn't surprise me if they won, you know, 13, 14 games in conference play. This is a really good Ball State team. They've been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch that turnaround there.
All right. John, the upcoming schedule, if I get it here on the screen for the Mid-American, there it is. Akron is part of another team that's part of the Diamond Head Classic, but anything else you're really looking forward to here?
We could possibly go to Buffalo that's going to be taking a stab at Texas A&M. I don't know if they're going to be able to follow the same blueprint that Northern Kentucky did, but I don't have as much faith in them winning that game away from home.
And also kind of circle that Western Michigan-Milwaukee game. We spoke about that a little bit earlier when we were talking about the horizon. But for John, I'm going to give you special treatment here and give you our favorite conference. Go ahead. The MEAC.
Yep, just as my computer is saying, your internet connection is unstable.
We're waiting for conference play to start.
We were really waiting. Hampton picked up a win over Appy State, though. John, I was waiting for you to comment on that one.
No, I was cut off the last time I mentioned that road show was going to be hitting the area. But even North Carolina A&T, they did get a win over Tennessee State at home, but we're not able to get the double as they also lost at Duquesne, which was part of, a non-bracketed game for the Las Vegas Classic.
Yeah, we've got five teams without a Div 1 win, and then another three with two wins or less. Another four with two wins or less.
Although we got to keep talking about this North Carolina A&T team. They are playing Friday. They're playing Radford in the visitors semifinal of the Vegas Classic. They'll have another game Saturday against somebody else. But
what's funny about that tournament is it's the under the radar portion that's going to be bracketed. It's the top four teams where they're fixed matchups, so that's why you're not going to see the main portion of the Las Vegas Classic on our exempt tournament page.
Yep,
that's correct. Let's go right on over to the Missouri Valley Conference, where it was maybe not that great of a week for the MVC, quite out.
Yeah.
Loyola's lost to Milwaukee. We also saw Evansville tonight. Evansville, David, you voted them in our top 10.
Yes.
Lost by 64 points tonight.
Yes. Well, to be fair to Evansville, they were without, I think, two of their starters and key players. And with them, I think they would have only lost by about 50.
64 points.
Well, they just got obliterated. I mean, and it's one of those things, what do you even say? You just kind of throw it away and forget about it and then cash your check. There's a lot to get on here. Loyola Chicago having a really, really piss poor showing against Milwaukee. Stunning result, really, because, I mean, Loyola was just absolutely rolling with one loss. But Northern Iowa, kind of disappointing against Iowa State. Now, Iowa State's really good, but this was a game that I thought that they could win and that they were going to win. And then for the last 10 minutes of that game, they just stopped being able to hit shots, went ice cold. And, you know, the Big Four gives us some pretty good matchups every year. That's Iowa, Iowa State, Northern Iowa, and Drake. You wish they would make it more accessible. Like, I think it was $6 to watch this game.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. I saved my $6, quite honestly.
But then when you look at a team like Bradley, you have to wonder, are they just padding the record, or is there something to their wins?
Well, and then Missouri State, Chad's preseason pick, who I wasn't that big on, but suddenly looking a lot better. A quiet 10-3 right there.
A quiet 10-3. They're there. And Bradley, John, though, if we're going to find out about them at Ole Miss. And actually, conference play started with a game Friday night as well, Loyola Chicago and Missouri State.
Yep,
but that's not going to be the one I'm going to be attending, because I'll be en route to Cedar Falls for the Xavier Northern Iowa game.
That's going to be a fun one. If Northern Iowa gets that one, and they very certainly could with them being at home, and again, like, the crowd will be with them and they'll be on friendly terms. They beat North Carolina the year North Carolina was a national runner-up, I believe. So they're capable of beating really good teams at home.
I think I made a mistake here. I don't think I was allowed to mention one of the teams without showing cause.
Oh, wait, yeah. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, let's go on here to the Northeast Conference, where Wagner, after that 7-1 start, has now lost back-to-back games, falling to Seton Hall tonight and to Ryder over the weekend. So
yeah.
We were
no shame in losing to Seton Hall, but yeah, still looking a lot better than anyone else in the conference. But and no real shame to losing to Seton Hall, but Ryder, I thought that they would get, even though they were on the road.
Yeah, again, we're getting very close to conference play, and that's when the Northeast. Oh.
They'll be a future conference
of ours at some point here, sometime in January or so.
Right.
There's the upcoming schedule. Again, a few more bye games this week, though, and so not much of note.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd really call Central Connecticut at UMass Lowell a bye game, for example, but certainly very winnable for CCSU.
It is. Wagner going to a Dayton team that's in very young, complete rebuilding mode. Very vulnerable Dayton team. Can they get that one?
That should be an interesting one. Sacred Heart of Providence, a very beatable Providence team right now as well.
Yeah. Everybody's beating Providence. So why not Sacred Heart?
Over in the Ohio Valley Conference, we actually already started the show by talking about that. David, why don't you tell me to skip those conferences that we already did?
Well, let's talk about them again. Let's talk about this. We didn't mention SIU Edwardsville.
No, we didn't, and we're not going to. Instead, we're going to talk about the Patriot League. And I know you want to talk a little Navy, David, didn't you?
Yeah, really good year so far, 8-3. 9-3 overall, some pretty decent wins. Let's pull up their team sheet. I mean, nothing too extraordinary, but a lot better than what we were expecting, I think.
There is that team sheet again. Nothing. I mean, there are 5 wins away from home there. They're all the bottom portion, but they are 5 wins away from home.
Yeah, they've got the 5 wins away from home, and they've got – who is it they got coming in this weekend? I know I mentioned it earlier.
Lipscomb.
Lipscomb. So that's going to be kind of a fun game. Always like when the service academies are good. There's a real spirit around it, and it's kind of fun. Navy's had some decent teams, but really hasn't had a team that's been at or near the top of the league since – about 8 or 9 years ago, I think.
Yeah, and I put Army up on the other side of the screen up here also. They had the big win over Air Force. Air Force is good, but it is a Mountain West Conference team that they kind of blew out over the weekend.
Yeah, and again, that was at home, so nice win for Army. But with Bucknell being such a tremendous disappointment, does Navy have the staying power to compete in this league?
And maybe I believe that game was played. It was played in New York City. It was either a Madison Square Garden or a Brooklyn game, actually.
Okay.
It was a New York game, technically, the Army Air Force game.
And even if we're talking about strength of schedule, it seems like Bucknell's actually been overtaken by Colgate in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we're going to talk Bucknell again at some point with this conference, but that shows how disappointed they've been that we barely even mentioned them in this podcast.
Right.
The upcoming schedule here in terms of this conference. Again, we already mentioned that Lipscomb Navy game. LaSalle's at Bucknell.
Got some beanpot action there, Boston U Harvard.
Boston U Harvard, a little beanpot action, absolutely.
Yeah.
Loyal at Memphis, a very beatable Memphis team right now as well.
Yeah. Pittsburgh going to Colgate. That's a real winnable game. Oh, it's Pittsburgh-Bradford. Maybe they'll have a little more trouble. It's not
that's a proponent to Pittsburgh, isn't it?
Yeah.
John, the SoCon up here on the screen now. It's a conference that we're starting to see a little bit of noise, especially from the first couple of teams. We were kind of disappointed that we hadn't heard anything from this conference earlier in the season.
Yeah, we had kind of teased it on, the Hoops HD report on Monday, where East Tennessee State looked like they had a chance to get a major scalp on the road, but were unable to put together 2 complete halves. But they were still able to bounce back and get a nice win against Detroit on the road. So at least they have some momentum building before we go into SoCon play, where we actually have the same top 3 from last year, and that was Furman, Greensboro, and East Tennessee State.
How about Mercer, who I have not been big on at all, going into Alabama, not to Tuscaloosa, but going down to Mobile, or was it Huntsville? It was some city in Alabama in front of a very partial Alabama crowd and almost getting that win.
Yeah, Mercer looked good, and you've got UNC Greensboro with the win at NC State over the weekend as well. Everybody made a little, all these teams, these top 5 teams or so have made some noise now in the past couple of weeks as we get ready for conference play. And I'm starting to get a little more excited about this league now than I have been all season when they just couldn't pick up a big win.
Yeah, Furman looking good. East Tennessee State certainly looking good. Samford's still not looking good, but there's a couple teams in this league with a pulse, and then Greensboro, we saw what they did at NC State. So,
right. Upcoming schedule here, though, in the SoCon, David, we do see only a few games here. Yeah. I guess the Georgia Southern East Tennessee State game, though, on Friday is kind of an interesting one. It's 2 pretty good teams there.
Yeah, it is. Georgia Southern, who we're going to talk about here in a little bit, they've got kind of a bloated record. And East Tennessee State, tough to beat at home. I don't think they've lost at home yet.
We can check that. Want to do a little team sheet action here on ETS?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
All right. East Tennessee State, they do not have a – they did. They lost at home to Troy, actually.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right.
Then, David, just don't talk anymore.
I will not.
Just leave. You're out of here.
I don't want to leave. I would like to share something.
Okay, go ahead.
Related to the – oh, wait, no, I'll wait.
I think he's trying to get buzzed on purpose if the SWAC is going to be coming up.
No. Well, we're actually going to hit the Southland first, John. I'll let you talk a little bit about it. SFA still now out to a 10-2 start.
Yeah, SFA also had a chance to get a monumental road win last night, but – they just came up a little bit short against Missouri, and even Quanzo Martin, the Missouri coach, actually went into the SFA locker room to congratulate them on their effort and also wish them luck in their upcoming season in the Southland.
Yeah, can we pull up SFA?
Sure, we can pull up SFA.
Yeah, a couple questions for you all, not to hijack the host position. Well, the first is, once we pull them up, is this team good enough to win out? I think that they are. And if they do, what do you do with a team with a record that bloated but a resume that weak?
Otherwise? I'll tell you that in terms of winning out, there's a couple games you've got to circle. Of course, their big, huge rivalry game with Sam Houston State. They've got two of them. Also, the both games against Lamar, who's next best pulse in this conference. But they do win out. They're going to have the La Tech win, the LSU win, and nothing still.
Yeah, and I realize the RPI, excuse me, is still very incomplete. There isn't enough data points, but look at this. There is
I'm going to redo it, David. This is now showing KenPom ratings, which are a little more accurate this time of this year still.
Okay, KenPom, either way, we have no one, it looks like, or I'm sorry, we got one team in Lamar, which is even in the KenPom top 200. We're all on this committee together. We're not the bracket. We're not like Rocco or certainly not Tytel, the committee guessing experts. What does the committee do with a team like this if this team wins out? Which I think they will. I mean, not partly because they are really good. They went to LSU and got a win. Mizzou, not easy at all to win there. Almost got that win. And their schedule's pitiful.
Well, you're talking about a 31-2 type of record.
Yeah,
here,
including we are.
Winning
yeah.
the conference tournament. I think you're an 11 seed.
I could see that. And does one loss in the conference tournament?
I think you're also ranked about 12th in the nation, and you're an 11 seed.
Does the committee take this team if they win out and lose in the conference tournament?
If they lose in the Southland tournament, they're getting the buzzer.
No, I do not think, even if they win every single game until the Southland Conference Championship game, there is an off chance that they get a game in Dayton. And they'll be on the list there. I think they're more likely to be a one seed in the NIT, one of those top four teams out.
Yeah, because they will have beaten, if you look at, unless LSU or La Tech just blows it out, but they will have potentially beaten no one outside of Louisiana Tech, and they won at Louisiana Tech. This is a good SFA team. It really is. And I was really critical about previous SFA teams, but this one, despite playing the four Division II schools that drive me crazy, they went to LSU and won, they went to Louisiana Tech and won, and they went to Missouri and almost won. That's not bad.
What they need is La Tech to win Conference USA. They need North Dakota State to turn it on and maybe win the Summit League also. Those are things that could help push it up if there is any shot, but I just don't see it.
But there's a real chance that they could be 31-2 and have no wins against teams inside the NIT bubble, much less NCAA. The other thing, what do you think about Quanzo Martin? Is that good form, bad form? I don't think he was coming from a bad place at all, but should he just sort of worry about his own team?
I think he should just worry about his own team, honestly. I think it's slightly degrading to go in and do that. Don't you?
Right. I don't think he meant bad at all. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I think he was very genuine and coming from a very good place. But I agree with you. Just worry about your own team.
What's his name in the NHL? John Tortorella, who did actually try to charge into the visitors' locker room because he was pretty enraged.
But David, I think that if this had been a game against a non-D1 school, Arlington Baptist College, who Slika circled earlier, who and they had lost to Missouri by a point. That's a little different. But this is a D1 program that believes it's an NCAA tournament program. I don't think you should have done that.
What if it's Tom Izzo going into an opposing team's locker room to chew them out because they weren't giving him a good enough game in an exhibition?
Did he actually do that?
That was a few years ago.
Okay. Wow.
The upcoming schedule real quick in the Southland, really nothing of note there. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and move right along, David, to the SWAC, possibly. I think it's a SWAC that's up next. There it is. David, I got to tell you something. You see those two teams in red? That means they are ineligible for the NCAA tournament.
Oh, that's what – well, pending a waiver. Pending a waiver.
Okay. So, David, please stop building brackets with Grambling in it.
Pending a waiver.
But I do want to congratulate Alcorn State, now tied with the most wins overall and the least wins versus D1. So most and least at the same time.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Oh, my God.
Definitely another big win at Southeastern Louisiana by a point over the weekend, though. Four wins overall now.
Yeah, we're up to 8 wins. We put the over-under at 10. I think they could get 10.
We are up to 8 D1 wins. We do have a little bit of time left. Texas Southern still sitting there 0-12 and probably the best team in the conference.
Yep. And I'm really hoping to see a Texas Southern team go undefeated in SWAC play and winless outside of the SWAC. That includes the NCAA tournament.
Still, like, 2 huge games to circle, though, in this conference. Number one, Saturday, Texas Southern at BYU. A winnable game for Texas Southern, which could destroy David's dream there.
It would.
Alabama A&M at Georgetown is also worth noting, but even more importantly, Stalika, tomorrow night, Grambling at East Carolina. Can you get worse than that?
I believe that's the resistible force against the movable object.
Really very winnable game for Grambling. Very, very winnable game for Grambling, to the point that I think this may be Grambling on the road against a non-under-the-radar school, and Grambling, I expect them to win the game. That's just amazing.
Why is East Carolina so bad? This would be not just 2 out-of-conference wins, but 2 out-of-conference wins against non-under-the-radar teams for Grambling. A storied season.
David, the Summit League, I actually want to pull up a quick profile here in the Summit League, a team very briefly mentioned earlier, but Oral Roberts, way down there on the bottom, has some horrible, horrible losses. Pepperdine, Southern Nazarene,
Avita.
Look at the column here. Missouri State and Florida Gulf. Where does that come from?
I don't know. The Missouri State win is inexplicable.
Win on the run at Gulf Coast is just as crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So, wow. I don't know what to make of that.
But let's go back to the standings, though. Anything of note that you saw this week?
Continue to be impressed with both the South Dakota teams. How about Fort Wayne going into Indiana and beating them by 20? This is the second year in a row they've beaten Indiana. And then they had to sweat out Stetson.
Yeah, they sweat.
I'm sorry, I said that backwards, but you know what I mean.
Well, they were looking forward to the Indiana game, so you can't
play. Right, yeah.
You almost have to feel for Fort Wayne because it's not like they're going to get as much credit for beating Indiana, even though it was at Indiana. But actually, I was going to ask Chad if he can pull up the South Dakota profile, because this was another team that had a respectable effort at UCLA last night but came up about 3 points short.
Yeah, they did. They were in that game against a UCLA team that can't really beat anybody. But a lot of wins, but no wins of note. But only one slightly questionable loss.
And that was a Northern Colorado team that we were praising earlier as far as the Big Sky goes.
Yeah.
And David, how about the road trip, though, that South Dakota is going to be making in February, down all the way down to Peru?
Yeah, that is wild. Like, going down to the Peru, and again, with the travel situation being what it is, you got to really question why they scheduled that one.
Well, how do we miss Mount Marty here on the 20th of November? Marty,
here's the upcoming schedule for the Summit League. I guess Oral Roberts, the way they're suddenly playing, maybe they have got a shot at Minnesota here Thursday night.
Yeah, and the way Minnesota is suddenly playing. So, I mean, you got to look at that. Western Illinois, a bloated record against a really weak schedule going into Butler. I don't know. Just because of the record, and I know you shouldn't just look at a record, that one has my attention a little bit.
It doesn't. I think that Butler's going to blow them out by about 20 points. So.
Okay.
And I could be wrong, but that would be a rarity.
Probably not.
The Sun Belt. We're suddenly talking a little Raging Cajuns, aren't we?
Yeah, like this Louisiana team had the big win at La Tech. We talked about that the other week. 8-2 overall. So again, is it that they're finally allowed to call themselves Louisiana, that we like them, or that they're doing well?
It's them, and we got Arlington also, who's still, you know, they picked up a win this week against Rio Grande, but that's it. But
yeah, Arlington really good with some close calls. Georgia Southern.
They lost the game. They also lost the game to Creighton. That was Arlington.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern.
Right. And Appalachian State kind of disappointing this year at 3-8.
On that note, I guess, John,
can we use the screen share here?
Oh, you want me to go to the screen share? Okay. I will go to the screen share here.
On Appalachian State here. I can't believe you actually did it. Let's see.
Papa is trying to get me paused from the podcast again. I have absolutely no shame.
There it is.
Why are piloting a scoreboard of South Alabama and Tulane?
Okay, that's enough of that.
Goodbye.
All right, so anyway, now that Chad's gone.
No, we are not having a Kansas-Missouri panel. We've seen what happens before. So
under the radar. Well, Appalachian, you know, 3-8. That is the worst commercial I've ever seen. I just know Chad hates it, so I try and work it in as much as I can. Anyway, other teams in the Sun Belt, Texas Arlington, pretty close. I don't know.
But in all seriousness, I wanted to highlight Georgia State because it just seems rather odd that as much of a snake pit as UMass is, that you like to call it, where they've claimed Georgia and Providence as victims, Georgia State was actually able to go in and get a nice win themselves.
Yep, 8-4 overall. And again, fairly strong. Georgia State's one of those teams, they have kind of a strong ceiling when you watch them. They don't always play up to it, but when they do, they're tough to beat. So, anyway, we need to move on. What is the next conference? Is it the WAC?
Yes, that would be the last conference here.
Yeah. So the WAC, we've got the team of the well, I don't know. We got to discuss them and the team.
You can't do the show without me, can you?
No, we just can't do a screen share as quickly as you.
Right. I should be the host. Yeah.
Where were we? I think we already hit finish the sub. You guys finished off the Sun Belt, I think, right?
Yep, we were finishing the Sun Belt.
Georgia State.
I do want to mention that Louisiana-Clemson game coming up Friday night.
Yeah, and again, if the Cajun are for real, that's their chance to prove it against a really good Clemson team. Georgia Southern, East Tennessee State. We talked about that one earlier. But
The WAC, though, is our last conference. New Mexico State, the win over Illinois, it's starting to make a little noise again.
Yeah, I know Grand Canyon's off to that 8-3 record, but they've done it basically against a pastry cart. New Mexico getting out there against a pretty good strength of schedule and a decent anyway. And being 7-2, does this New Mexico State team have it in them to make some noise and get up to the 11 line, the 12 line inside the bubble?
Let's go.
We should also highlight that the New Mexico State win was in Chicago at the United Center against the Illini.
Yeah, it wasn't on campus. Yeah,
the home loss to San Diego, if we could get that off of the record, if that was on the win column, I'd be feeling a lot better. But they are another team out in the Diamond Head this weekend.
Yeah. And a chance there to get and holy crap! So they got the 3 Diamond Head games, and then four or five road games? I can't count.
4 straight road games. They'll have
4
seven
straight
games
road games
coming away from
home. From home. And if so, this is a chance to really put together something that would impress the committee.
Yeah, they're actually good, Davidson, when you go by KenPom stats. But as soon as you bring up RPI or any of the other metrics, it becomes just another triple-digit team that New Mexico State will be facing.
Yeah.
And the upcoming schedule, we just mentioned that game. New Mexico State's games are really the only thing of true note. I guess Grand Canyon with the return trip to Louisville off of last year's home game against the Cardinals coming up as well. Last thing we got to hit on tonight, of course, is the team of the people, Cal Baptist. They are not. They're actually going to be off the entire next week with the holiday. Yeah. But they went 2-0 this week. Dixie State and Frank Biola.
Right. And again, D2, like all other sports other than D1, has the break within the term, a 7-day dead period, no games, no practices, no nothing. What do you think of that rule? It's never, D1 will never, ever adopt it. There's just too much influence with television and all that. But I kind of like that they do that.
I kind of think it sucks as a fan because it means there'll be no games to watch.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand why they can't do that and give us games to watch.
Oh, okay.
You just got to come up with a way to do that. That's it.
Let me go to both of you for any other final thoughts of the evening, though, John. Let me, John, go ahead. Any other comments?
So I guess we aren't going to be doing any top 10 for tonight, if that's the case.
Well, we are doing a top 10. So, John, is your final thought? You're going to be reminding that we forgot the top 10. See what happens when I get up and leave the podcast in the middle? Top 10 list. Yeah. Here it is.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Thank you for the drum there. And the number one team, I believe, for the second or third week still is that Northern Iowa team, David.
Yeah, despite the loss, I still like them the best. And it wasn't like it was a bad loss. So,
and really, they're right up there. Number two, I believe, also stayed the same, John, at Middle Tennessee. These two seem to just be heads and shoulders above everybody else at this point.
It wasn't a good week for under-the-radar teams overall, so if there was ever a week to lay a stinker against Auburn, this was it.
Yeah. And number three, Loyola Chicago, still another team coming off a loss, a bad loss over the week, still remains right up there. When everybody loses, everything stays the same, David. Number four, a team that just laid a stinker tonight, Towson. Still up there. Right. We have a team that had a good week here. Number five, maybe. We've got UC Santa Barbara. How about that?
No, well, they lost to USC, but still not a bad loss.
Okay. How about number six then? Old Dominion.
Old Dominion, yeah, they kind of had a good week. All right, good to see them up there. We talked about how they were quiet, so but really belonging up there. SFA get up there despite the loss.
All right, and then here we got number eight was New Mexico State, the team we just discussed 3 seconds ago, breaking into the top ten there at number eight. And John at number nine, Lipscomb, a new entry into the top ten list.
Yep, I think I had them somewhere around nine myself, so I can only
glad to see them. I don't think I voted for them, but glad to see them, man. They
one or two, we also saw the light.
Yep.
Yeah, I did. I had them up a few spots in this even. And number 10, Vermont, last team to kind of hang in there, make the last spot in the top 10. It was real close between them and some of the honorable mentions that included, let's see here, College of Charleston, Georgia Southern, Oakland, Belmont, and the Louisiana team we just discussed as well. So Oakland got a little love from our voting here, despite the fact that they have kind of a weak overall record.
Yeah, weak overall profile, but you got to look at what we talked about when we discussed them being back at full strength, blasting a team that's in the top 10 that we all think is pretty good in Towson. So Oakland might blow through the Horizon League and be okay in the end.
I have a feeling that we're going to see Oakland up in maybe in the top five by the end of the season on these lists. But
yeah,
John, let me give you a shot now to give us your final thoughts.
I know it's probably going to be inviting the buzzer, but I think after seven non-D1 games, the Tocawa Falls nightmare is going to be finally over because, as it turns out, it seems like they've become a more inexpensive buy games for some under-the-radar teams where, let's say, a Power 6 might pay about five or six figures. It seems like they're getting about $5,000 from some of these under-the-radar programs just to guarantee a win, but I hate to see what that does for team morale like that.
Wait, so you're saying that if the three of us and two other guys from our Hoops HD panel got together, we can go $5,000 to go down to Appalachian State? Dave, we got to work on this, don't we?
Yeah, we absolutely have to work on this. Open Bible was it Open Bible? Yeah. And they went to investigate and found out that it was basically a laptop on a fold-out table tray.
Well, we can do that. We have a laptop and a fold-out table, don't we?
Yes, we do. Really, nothing against Toccoa Falls. It's those that schedule Toccoa Falls. What are you doing? Don't play those games. That was one of my final thoughts. The other is just, this is our last show of any kind. You kind of addressed this at the end of the Hoops HD before Christmas. We got kind of a busy week leading all the way into Christmas this year, but we kind of go into holiday mode on the 24th, and I guess we're back at it on the 27th. The Diamond Head Classic, some pretty good basketball going on that day. A lot of good under-the-radar teams, and that's what's really important. But I just hope everybody has a safe time, and it's an enjoyable time no matter what you're doing. If you're visiting your family, I hope you enjoy that. If you're visiting your family and you don't get along with your family, I hope you can find a room, get on Twitter, watch some Diamond Head Classic basketball, don't drink too much. They'll put you in a bunker.
Yeah, I got to echo what David just said there. And David, in the holiday spirit, we have decided that we are going to let you out of the public bunker in May. But on that
note, wait, May? Why not before then?
John Slica, I'm Chad.
No!
Have a wonderful holiday, everybody. We'll talk to you again next
week. I don't want to be in the bunker.